You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears. I am your host, as always, Lauren Cox, and I'm here to once again leverage my background with Pro Football Focus and USA Today's Bears Wire to bring you what I think is the best Chicago Bears podcast on the market. Thank you for lending me your ear holes here for the next little while here, whether you're in the car on your drive home from work or you're waiting on the train or doing XYZ, whatever you do when you listen to Locked On Bears, I hope I can make that experience just a little bit more enjoyable for you, help you tune out a little bit of the outside world and get lost in the Chicago Bears, even in the offseason when they're isn't as much Chicago Bears to get lost in on a week-to-week basis. I hope I can be your fix. Today, I've got a little bit of a hot take for you. Are you ready for this? The Chicago Bears wide receivers are bad. Now, I know you cool down for a sec. I know that's a scorching take. Don't know if you've heard that one anywhere else, so if you need a minute to process that, I completely understand. I mean, I know this is a little bit out there, but I think what we really need to get into here, I mean, I know everyone knows the Chicago Bears wide receivers are terrible. They were terrible this last year. But I think today I can help you think about it maybe a little bit differently than you have before. Because in my opinion, when you really sit down and look at it and look at what the Bears had at wide receiver and how things are progressing to this offseason, the Bears might be a little bit more desperate than you think. I mean, that was really the case for me when I sat down and started going through this. And so what I want to do today is go through it together and sort of look at the depth of this Bears problem, perhaps the lack of depth in this Bears problem, and how we can look ahead here to some potential solutions for the future. We'll really dive into what happened this year, where things stand moving forward, and try and get a look at what direction this team could be headed for here as free agency is around the corner and then the draft after that. Now, we've talked a little bit about this before in the sense that some of the Bears' problems with their wide receiver core was about the scheme. And we'll get into this a little bit more with Dontrell Inman in a little bit here. But clearly, the Bears' offensive coaching staff struggled to put players in the best position to be successful, whether that was their rookie quarterback, whether that was Tariq Cohen getting him on the field, or these wide receivers finding the right roles, finding the right players to have on the field for the majority of the game. We saw the receiver rotations just never seem to have a steady direction. So a lot of it was scheme issues, but still clearly there was an obvious lack of talent. I mean, you look at just statistically the numbers here. The Bears' leading receiver was Kendall Wright, who put up just over 600 yards. I want to say it was around 615 off the top of my head. You know who their second leading receiver was? Josh Bellamy, right around 375 yards. I mean, Wright, again, the Bears' leading receiver with 600 yards, finished 62nd. In receiving yards among all wide receivers in the NFL. 62 players had more receiving yards this year than Kendall Wright. In fact, 6 wide receivers specifically had more than double the yards that Wright had. 6 teams had a receiver produce twice as much as Kendall Wright. And, you know, the Bears had the fewest passing yards as a team of any team in the NFL, so it's not entirely an indictment on Kendall Wright, but it is an indictment, of course, on this Bears coaching staff and on this Bears offense as a whole. I mean, you look around the league a little bit here. Adam Humphries from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their number 3 wide receiver behind Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, their number 3 wide receiver had more receiving yards this year than Kendall Wright, the Bears' leading receiver. There were 3 wide receivers on the Buccaneers that had more receiving yards than the Bears' leading receiver. And actually, 8 different teams had 3 receivers with more yards than Kendall Wright. I mean, 3 receivers on 8 teams. A third of the league had 3 players more productive than the Bears' best player at wide receiver in terms of production here. The only team in the NFL that might have been comparable or worse than what the Bears had this year from wide receivers was the Buffalo Bills. And there's a lot of irony in that that I think gets lost a little bit until you really take a look at it. Because, you know, the Bills' leading receiver this year was their tight end, Charles Clay, had about 550-ish yards. So Kendall Wright had more receiving yards than the Buffalo Bills' leading receiver. But the Bills' leading wide receiver this year, I mean, Charles Clay was one, I think LeSean McCoy was two, but their wide receiver with the most receiving yards this year on the Buffalo Bills was Deontay Thompson with, I think, like 425, 430, somewhere in that range. Deontay Thompson, if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because he was a member of the Chicago Bears to start this season and played the first quarter of the season on this Bears roster. But the Bears decided he wasn't worth keeping on the roster and released him. The Buffalo Bills picked him up. And you might remember he had like a 100-yard game in like his first game in Buffalo. And to me, that is as big of an indictment on this Bears offensive coaching staff as anything we saw from them. I mean, you're sitting here and your wide receivers are hilariously bad. I mean, just, I can't say historically bad, but hilariously bad. And then the guy that you cut goes on to another team with hilariously bad wide receivers too, and he leads them in receiving yards. And to take it one step further, he goes to that team, leads them in receiving yards, and they made the playoffs. I mean, holy hell, man. The Chicago Bears gave up a wide receiver. That wide receiver went on to another team, led that team's wide receivers in receiving yards, and helped that team get to the playoffs. While the Bears had another terrible season, fired their head coach, had to move on, and had no discernible talent at the wide receiver position. I mean, that says it all there. And I don't know how much of that was Dowell Loggins. I don't know how much of that was John Fox. And certainly, when a personnel move is involved, some of the blame has to go to Ryan Pace, don't you think? I mean, Ryan Pace has to sign off on a player getting released from his team. He has to have evaluated that player and the other players on his roster and been at least okay with the decision to release Deontay Thompson and let him go to another team, seemingly agreeing that Deontay Thompson was not as valuable to the Chicago Bears roster as Tanner Gentry and Trey McBride and the other list of Bears wide receivers that did nothing for them this year. Maybe there was something off the field that didn't get out. You know, maybe Thompson missed some practices or missed curfew or got caught doing something that didn't get leaked, and there were off-the-field reasons why the Bears released Deontay Thompson. But clearly, those reasons did not surface again in the Buffalo Bills. So that's, you know, that's what makes it seem like that's perhaps not the case. But, you know, there's some unknown here as to why the Bears released a veteran receiver during the year, and it certainly looks terrible when he goes on to have 100-yard receiving games with his new team, help that team get to the playoffs, and lead them in receiving yards, even if it was, again, perhaps hilariously low a number of receiving yards. But that was 2017, and we are ready to look ahead to 2018 here. We're moving on to the Matt Nagy era, and of course, everyone's putting their hope that this wide receiver position is going to get turned around, and that's what we're going to get into here next. Everybody always wants to jump right into free agency, right into the draft, but Ryan Pace still has a lot of work to do with his own roster before we even get to that part. I mean, when you really take a look at what the Chicago Bears contract situation is like at the wide receiver position, you really start to see that they're really desperate at wide receiver. I mean, they've got almost nobody coming back next year, and I think that's both a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, obviously, injuries played a big role in the lack of wide receiver talent this year, and they're starting to get some of those guys back as they move forward to the offseason starts for me and for most people here with Mr. Injury himself, Kevin White. And he's really up in the air, in my opinion, for 2018 and beyond. I mean, you just look back, you've gotten 5 games out of Kevin White in 3 seasons. And from a football standpoint, obviously, that's extremely frustrating for the Bears. It's frustrating for Bears fans. Everyone wants to see the former 7th overall pick in the draft on the field making plays. But sometimes it's easy to forget about how difficult that has to be, not only for Kevin himself, but his friends and his family that have seen him go through these struggles for the last few years of his career. And actually, I had a chance to talk to Kevin White's brother, Kaiser White, who played at West Virginia. He's sort of a hybrid linebacker safety. He's declaring for the draft this year, and he was down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. I had a chance to catch up with him about Kevin and how this struggle has been not only difficult for him, but difficult for his brother and his parents and their family, seeing someone so close to them have to deal with so much adversity so early in their playing career.
He's out in Phoenix, Arizona at Exos, rehabbing, just getting his body back.
So was he training with you?
And my other brother, Karan.
Right. Yep. Being side by side with your brothers, is that?
Yeah, it's great. Gives me a lot of inspiration, a lot of motivation. Yeah, for sure.
Wouldn't ask you to speak for him, but how frustrating has it been for you to watch him just go through injuries? You know how much talent he has.
Yeah, very frustrating. He's very talented, hardest worker I know. Just cards he's being dealt right now aren't the best, so he just has to, you know, stick it out.
People in Chicago feel like I don't even know him yet because he hasn't played.
I know a lot of people got a lot of bad stuff to say, but when he turns it around, you'll see. Yeah, they'll see for sure.
Has it been difficult for, you know, you and just the whole family to block out that bad stuff?
It's definitely difficult for me. If I see anything on Twitter, I kind of want to respond, but I don't because that's my big brother at the end of the day, so I don't like people talking bad about him. I know what he brings to the table.
I'm sorry, what can you learn watching him go through that? Does that help prepare you for the arrows that's undoubtedly going to come at some point, adversity?
Yeah, adversity is definitely a part of life, so you just got to handle it the best way you can and just try to bounce back from it.
What have you given, have you been able to give him some advice just to get him through this stretch?
I just pretty much told him, God gives his toughest battles to his toughest soldiers. So he's obviously putting you through this for a reason. You can handle it. Just keep going. Don't listen to the outside noise. It'll be good.
Again, that was Kaiser White, Kevin White's brother, talking down at the Senior Bowl back at the end of January, but still very relevant on the return of Kevin White. Definitely a difficult situation for all of them involved, but it seems like Kevin is full steam ahead. I mean, of course, his brother's going to back him up and leave no doubt that Kevin is going to make a full recovery. Certainly don't think there's any reason to doubt that Kevin's trying 100% and he's doing everything within his power to get back and be the football player everyone thought he could be. But from the Bears' standpoint, after 3 years of this, I just don't think they can go into 2018 relying on Kevin to play any type of major role at the wide receiver position. I mean, if you expect him to be one of your starting wide receivers like the Bears did last year, and he gets hurt again and continues to look like an underdeveloped raw wide receiver, you're going to be in the same mess of trouble that you've been in the last few years when he hasn't been able to play. And so in my eyes here, whatever Kevin White can give you in 2018 is going to be a bonus. It's an addition to whatever else you have at the wide receiver position. But to me, you have to prepare like he isn't there at all. Like there's no Kevin White on the team. And if he shows up and can be an important receiver in your offense, that's great. That's a nice bonus. But I'm not going to go into the year saying, okay, we've got Kevin White, so that position's solid. And then we just need to add a couple more players around him at wide receiver and we have a group. No, we don't have anything, and if Kevin White comes back, that'll be a nice addition to the receiving core that I spent all offseason building. But right now, at the very least, Kevin White is a body at the receiver position. I mean, whatever he's going to be worth, he is a Bears wide receiver under contract. And there's actually only two of those right now under contract for the 2018 season. It's Kevin White and it's Marcus Wheaton. And we'll get into it in a little bit, but it was a surprise to me when I saw that Cameron Meredith is a restricted free agent right now and is not currently under contract with the Chicago Bears for 2018. We'll get to him in a minute, but right now it's Kevin White and Marcus Wheaton under contract. And that is two players who showed you absolutely nothing in 2017. I mean, Marcus Wheaton, there was a while there where he had like that one catch at the beginning of the year, and that was it for like 10 weeks, it felt like. I don't remember exactly how long it took before he got a little bit more involved in the offense, but clearly he was a guy that just didn't have a great fit here. And some of that, I think, goes on the Bears coaching staff. I think, like we talked about with Dontrell Inman, that they could have done things to perhaps put him in a better role here. But at the same time, you're paying this guy, what was it, a two-year, $11 million deal? I mean, the Bears absolutely needed more from him on the field, whether that was because of injuries or whatever. Marcus Wheaton just wasn't producing the way he needed to, and right now he's looking like a pretty likely release candidate just to save money, because if you cut him this offseason, it would save $5 million against the salary cap. And, you know, even if Matt Nagy could come in, which, I mean, this is not even an if. Even when Matt Nagy comes in and adjusts the scheme to best fit the wide receiver talent he has, I mean, he could find a role for Marcus Wheaton and probably get some level of production from him. But right now, it's not worth paying Marcus Wheaton whatever $6 million or so he's due this year just on the off chance that Nagy might be able to get some production from him. I mean, maybe Ryan Pace still sees that potential and thinks that's worth it financially, but I think you and I will both agree here, I think we'll all agree here, that that's just too much money, and it's worth saving that $5 million to cut Marcus Wheaton and just sign other talent. You can bet we'll be breaking down what other talent the Bears could be interested in here all offseason on Locked On Bears. Still, Marcus Wheaton is a wide receiver under contract in Chicago in 2018, and right now it's just him and Kevin White. So if you cut Marcus Wheaton, you're down to just Kevin White as your only wide receiver under contract. Right now you're looking at a pretty major overhaul of the wide receiver position, which can be a good thing, but it's nice to have this, I guess, quote-unquote financial freedom to completely revamp the wide receiver position, but at the same time, you do have to now go through the process of re-signing these players, and maybe Kendall Wright doesn't want to come back. Maybe he sees better opportunities and feels like this team is limiting him, doesn't like Soldier Field turf XYZ, and he doesn't want to come back. Or maybe Dontrell Inman doesn't want it. Maybe some of these guys that you would initially want back don't want to come back to this Bears team after how bad 2017 was. I know it's a different coaching staff, but you never know what the motivation is going to be for these guys, especially if another team sees Kendall Wright and thinks, well, they can get a lot more out of him than the Bears can, and maybe they're more willing to pay, you know, a nicer contract. Because Kendall Wright played last year on a one-year, $2 million deal. It was sort of a prove-it contract, and I don't necessarily know that he proved a lot. I mean, it was important that he played all 16 games, but it was hard for anybody in this offense to prove very much as a receiver. And so I don't know what exactly his market value becomes. I mean, I'd try and bring him back on a very similar deal. You know, 1 year, couple million dollars again, and say, you know what, prove it in the Matt Nagy offense. You know, maybe you could give him 2 years and just make the guaranteed money, not much at all, and or front load it a little bit just to kind of say, hey, thanks for sticking it out last year. We liked what you did. We think you can do more, but we're only going to commit to you as a number three, number four type wide receiver in this offense. You know, he is still 28 years old, but again, what was he able to prove last year? How good can he be? I mean, it seemed like he and Trubisky had a nice connection. To me, that's worth bringing back, but it is a negotiation that you have to go through again with only two guys under contract, potentially one, if you cut Marcus Wheaton. I'd also try and bring back Dontrell Inman. I mean, Bears traded a 7th-round pick for him, didn't get a lot for him, but what they did get from him was, you know, advanced intel on a guy who's going to be a free agent, someone who had 800 yards with the Chargers back in 2016. I mean, the talent is there. We've seen him produce at a number two wide receiver type level for 1 year. And if anyone can get that out of him, it's going to be Matt Nagy. I mean, we talked back on, I think, December 28th podcast here on Locked On Bears about, it was titled, like, What Happened to Dontrell Inman, or Where is Dontrell Inman, about how when he first came to the Bears, first got on the field, he had a couple of big productive games against the Packers and the Lions, maybe, off the top of my head, and then he disappeared, and then came back in week 17 and had a few nice plays. But the big issue for him was that his role within the offense changed, that they had him kind of running different routes, and it was working early on, and then they kind of went away from that and had him doing things that didn't necessarily fit his skill set, and that became more of the issue. So if you can get Dontrell Inman back on a cheap contract, I absolutely try and get that talent out of him. We know it's there. He has proven in the past, at least once, that he can get to 800 yards. I think Matt Nagy can get that out of him and get the Bears potentially a nice, cheap, under-the-radar, low-risk, high-reward type wide receiver that can be, you know, maybe you want something better as your number two, but can be subtly a better number three or number four receiver than you typically get from a cheap contract. You know, I think you can give Inman that one-year, $2 million type prove-it deal that the Bears gave Kendall Wright last year, the Bears gave Victor Cruz last year, and let Nagy try and get more out of Dontrell Inman in 1 year. Maybe you get 500-700 yards out of him. He goes on to next offseason and looks for bigger money elsewhere, but you still get that nice bang-for-your-buck type deal from a guy that you've had in the building, and you kind of know his work ethic and how he treats his teammates, how he gets along with your quarterback, and you can truly have a pretty good idea of whether this guy is worth bringing back. From the outside, seems like it would be worth giving him that nice little deal. But the one guy you have to bring back here is Cameron Meredith. And like I said, it surprised me when I was looking and saw that he is a restricted free agent, that he is not under contract for 2018. I was under the impression he had one more year left and he'd be back in XYZ. But now there's a little bit of an up in the air here. And not that I think there's any chance Cam Meredith goes anywhere else and doesn't come back to the Chicago Bears. I mean, unless something went horribly wrong with his injury recovery and they don't think he's going to be the same guy. But this is a guy that you just have to tender and re-sign. I mean, he only has that 1 year of production, kind of like Dontrell Inman. And so, you know, you're not going to just break the bank on a guy coming off of a big injury like this and only 1 year of production. But, you know, he looked like a pretty solid number two wide receiver. I mean, we definitely can't sit here and say he's going to be a number one, but, you know, he looked like a number two receiver, and you want to pay for that. I mean, you don't want to let that go, but at the same time, I think Dontrell Inman can be a little bit of a cautionary tale that if you don't get a talented wide receiver, maybe not a top-tier wide receiver, but a talented wide receiver in the best position to be successful, maybe he's not an 800-yard guy every year. So I think you have to get Cameron Meredith. There's so much potential there that's untapped, and Matt Nagy can get as much of that as you can. But it's I'm just curious to see what his market's going to be like, how inexpensively they can sign him. I'm guessing he's only going to want to do a one-year deal so he can hit free agency again next year and have a potentially bigger payday. You know, you can't fault them for that. So I think we'll see Cameron Meredith back one way or another. Just curious to see what type of deal you're looking at for a productive wide receiver with 1 year to show it and 1 year now coming off of a major injury. One other guy that's a free agent here, the last one that I don't think anybody wants to talk about, is Josh Bellamy. You know, I think there's some mixed feelings on him in terms of how much he offers you offensively on special teams. He's a restricted free agent like Cameron Meredith. I think you bring him back on a cheap deal because he kind of offers you a little bit of both. I think he's a little bit better on offense than people want to give him credit for, but certainly valuable on special teams. Think he'll get that special teams type deal. But regardless, you look at this wide receiver position with Wright and Inman and Meredith and Bellamy as free agents, Wheaton potentially on the way out. The Bears just need bodies, period. I mean, they've got essentially nothing right now, but just Kevin White. I mean, I think you need a multi-tiered plan of attack here if you're Ryan Pace. That means spending dollars in free agency on multiple wide receivers. And not like last year when you sign Marcus Wheaton to a two-year little deal, and then you sign Kendall Wright and Victor Cruz to these one-year deals. I think there was another one too, but I can't remember here off the top of my head. The Bears threw a lot of contracts at veteran wide receivers, but they were all taking a flyer on a guy, seeing if you can get more out of him than he got in the past, and trying to squeeze everything you can for as little money as possible. I don't think that can be the strategy again this year. I mean, first of all, you just purely need better wide receiver talent. You can't go into the year again having question marks like this. Regardless of Matt Nagy, you just need talented playmakers. He can only do so much. And so you need guys to help your young quarterback. And I think that's going to be a priority. But even more so here, the Bears right now are projected to have $40 million in cap space. But on top of that, if you cut Mike Glennon, you save $11.5 million. You cut Marcus Wheaton, you save $5 million. You cut Pernell McPhee, which is looking more likely due to his injuries and age and all that. That saves you $7 million. If you cut Marcus Cooper, which is a whole other discussion, but he's in that conversation. If you release Marcus Cooper, save $4.5 million. Release Quinton Demps, who is now an expensive backup, saves you another $3 million. For all you math majors out there, that's another $31 million in just cutting those five players. So you add that to your cap space, that could be $70 million of cap space heading into free agency. The Bears have money to spend. They don't need to sit here and get through the whole offseason and still have $50 million again like they did last year, however much they didn't spend. Go spend it, be smart about it, but go spend money, go get talent for your team to gear up for a playoff run. Now, given all this cap space, I know you're dying to ask, Lauren, should the Bears sign Jarvis Landry? Should they sign Albert Wilson? Where should they throw their money? Well, guys, you're going to have to keep tuning in to Locked On Bears to find out. We'll get to Jarvis Landry, we'll get to Albert Wilson, and really all the free agent targets the Bears are going to be looking at in the coming weeks here. We still have a month before free agency starts. There's plenty of time to break it all down on your favorite Chicago Bears podcast. Until then, keep it locked on Locked On Bears. Keep it locked on Twitter at CoxSports1 or the show at Locked On Bears. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a nice little review if you haven't already. In the meantime, tune back in tomorrow for something a little bit different. You'll see what I mean, but I think it'll be a good time for everybody involved. Until then, bear down.